This morning, the title, they always like want me to give them titles. If I don't, they give it one, and then they may write an article or something from that, and they give it a title, and I say, I didn't preach that. So I'll give it a title. Remember what God said. You know, there's a lot of things that people remember, but sometimes it's not the right thing to remember. You know, in Deuteronomy 8:1, you know, Moses in Deuteronomy, actually Moses wrote Deuteronomy, and it's a sort of a recount of all in a caption of what happened to the children of Israel on their way toward the promised land. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Now here he's telling them that they need to remember this. You know, some people remember everything. If you ask them a question, they'll give you their life history. They remember every little detail, you know. But God is telling the Israelites to remember to follow his word. To remember that he is the leader. That's something that all of us need to get a hold of. He's the leader, we're not. We're the followers. And we need to remember that we live by his word. Paul said, in him I live and move and have my being. We need to remember what the Lord has done for us. You know, we sing a song around here a lot of times. It's called, Look What the Lord Has Done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise his name. Each day he's just the same. Come help me praise him. Look what the Lord has done. And I saw many of you mouthing that with me as I was. I didn't try to sing it. You know, y'all, I'm sure that I spared you ears. But no matter what's happening in our lives, no matter what's happening in our lives, what God has done, what he is doing, we must remember to follow the word of God. This is the word we're following. Not brother so-and-so's word, not sister so-and-so's word, but the word of God. Now, if they happen to be quoting the word of God, that might be all right. And you've heard me say it many times. People all the time using somebody when they say, actually, they're saying what God said, but they say, well, so-and-so said it. So-and-so said, so-and-so said. Hey, just say what the Bible says. Say what the word says. He said, and remember to follow God's word. Every commandment which I give you today, be careful to observe. In other words, he's telling you to remember his word. You know, now, the question I want to ask you, now you don't have to answer out loud, just answer in your head. Can you quote more word today than you did a year ago? That's a good question. Many people struggle to live for God because they don't know the word. Sometimes they're not struggling to live for God. Sometimes they're just struggling in life because they don't know what the word says about what belongs to them because of who they are in Christ. They say, oh, I can't do that. The Bible says in Philippians 4, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Not some things, not spiritual things. All things, spiritual and natural. You know, I've depended on that scripture day in and day out. I've depended on that way back when I was, I told you about, I've told you before, working on that freight dock and Sims, he is coming around riding that cart, and he said, asking everybody, can you do this and can you do this? And that whole row right there, we were all of us, there's two car loads of us from Bible school, and we was working the breakout, what they called breakout. And he is asking, they all said, nope. He got to me, I said, yeah, I can, you know. And when he went on by, the old boy over next to me, he said, Hagen, you don't know how to do that. I said, I know a little bit about it, and by this time tomorrow, I'll know a lot about it, because I know a guy that I can call that can give me some information, and then we have a library. Remember, that was 1959. We didn't have no internet back then. So I went to the library. All these young people don't even know about libraries. They don't know about going and looking it up. And how many of y'all remember when you had to go and look it up in the, if you was doing a report, you had to go look it up in the encyclopedia. Now that it's go online and do it. They don't even, you know, how many of you remember they used to, the encyclopedia salesman used to come around during the summertime, knock on the door selling World Book or Botanicus. I like the World Book myself, but those were the two popular brands. How many of you had World Book? Okay. How many had Botanica or whatever it was? Yeah. I can't even pronounce it. That's why I didn't like that one. You know, we got to realize that knowing God's word positions you to follow him and also positions you to receive his blessings. You know, when you're following somebody in a car, if you don't stay up close to them, other cars get in between you, they may turn off and you're hung out to dry. You don't know where to go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm really bad about when people follow me. Sometimes I make it through the light and they don't, and I have to pull over and stop. But we need to realize that we need, knowing God's word puts us in a position to follow him, follow his word. The better you know the word of God, the easier it is to follow God. You know, we need to remember what the word of God tells us. It tells us that we can live the life that God wants us to live. The word tells us that we can have increase because he said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. The word tells us that he wants us to enter into all of the promises of God, not just a few of them, all of them. And then the word, when you know what the word says, it tells you that you can possess all the promises that God has told you that's yours. You know, the Israelites, you know, they remembered, but they didn't remember the right stuff. In Numbers 11, 4 through 6, they got upset because the 10 spies brought back the report about how bad the land, that the land was good, but that they couldn't enter it. No way they could go in and take the land. And it says here, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and onions and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. All we have, we never see anything but this manna. That was just before they got to then. They started wailing. They started the same thing whenever those spies come back. But this is just before they got there. They said they only, they're remembering the food they had in Egypt. They forgot the pain and the hardship. They forgot about the working conditions that they were under. They also now were despising God's provision. Come on now. We got to be careful when God provides us something, not to complain about it. If it's not exactly what we thought it was going to be. If he provided it, hey, don't complain about it. Come on. I've seen people, I've seen Rhema students that praying for God to provide them finances, and they go in, they come in. I remember this one, they come in and they wanted to pay their bill, and we said, oh, it's already been paid. Oh, who paid it? My parents. They said, send the money back. I don't want them to pay it. I asked God to pay it for me. I'm serious. And I said, well, listen, did they know that you was needed the money to pay? He came in to ask if he could get an extension. This was years and years and years ago when I used to have to handle all that stuff in my office. My office was everything at the beginning. All the applications was read. Everything was done in my office. Tuition was paid, everything. I said, did they know it? No, they didn't know it. I said, well, then why do you think that they sent the money if that you didn't tell them? Who told them you needed the money? Oh. You see, sometimes we get to the point that God is providing, but yet we don't like it that way. Hey, I'll take it any way you want to give it, God. Come on. How many know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen somebody that they got what they was praying for, but they were upset because it didn't come the way they thought it should come? Anybody ever seen anybody like that? Yeah, I see several hands going up. Hey, I don't care how God does it, just as long as it does it. Amen. You know, it seemed like the Israelites, as they were there, they had selective memory. Only remember what they wanted to remember. Now, there's a lot of wives out there saying, yeah, that's my husband. My wife's saying the same thing down there. How many of you wives be willing to admit that you think your husband has selective memory? I see my wife got two hands up. They forgot what God said and only remembered what was going on and what wasn't going the way they wanted it to go. You know, unfortunately, there are too many people that live at 125 East Regretful Place. They're regretful because of all opportunities that they missed. And a lot of times they miss that opportunities because they wasn't following close enough to God. He provides opportunities. They're regretful because they messed up a situation that could have been good if they had had any sense. You know, God will give you how to handle a situation so it doesn't get in a mess. Remember, that's what he wants to do. They're regretful because of the words that they spoke. They're regretful because they didn't listen when somebody tried to tell them something. You know, we've all been there. In the natural, we've been there, but we've been there spiritually too. In the natural, I was about 3 years old, I guess three, maybe three and a half. And we was pastoring a church there in Farmersville. Dad's pastoring and little old shotgun parsonage. In fact, he built a room and a bathroom on the back of it while we were there. I mean, I remember trying to help him, you know, and I'd take him boards and hammers and stuff. And so... But it was one of those shotgun houses. Now, most of you people don't know what a shotgun house, why they call it a shotgun house. It's just a long, narrow house. If you stood at this side and fired a shotgun, it'd go right through it because there's no rooms on it. Everything's in a line. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I got some of you. And so We was in the living room, and the kitchen's here, and then the living room's here, and the bedroom's here, and that was about it. And we didn't have no light in the middle, and we had one of those porcelain, it was the fixture that you screw in the wall, and then it's just got a brass deal where you screw the light bulb in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you don't never seen something like that? Let me see your hand. The Bible said, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. No. I got to get some of you awake. I woke up some of you. That's good. Now, it's just, they don't have those anymore. But used to, they did, because they didn't have no, it's just a brass deal with four screws to go in, didn't have a switch on it or nothing. Then they finally got where they got a switch on. But so the couch is here, and I'm standing up on the couch, and there wasn't a light bulb in it, but you did turn it on, turn it off, and there wasn't no light bulb in it. So I'm standing up there, and I'm going, and my dad's sitting over at the desk studying. I guess he's getting his Sunday sermon. I don't know. He said, son, don't do that. If your finger slips off of there, and you're going to get shocked. Okay, Dad. And I wound up in the floor. I learned the hard way that electricity will bite you. But I could have learned the easy way by listening. See, that's what I was talking about, if y'all forgot about it. People are regretful because they didn't listen. Didn't listen to somebody in the natural. They didn't listen to what God was telling them. You know, remember his word. Turn to your neighbor and say, how much word do you remember? Come on now. It's a good question. When we remember his word, we must remember that in his word is where we get his leading sometimes. Everybody's wanting some kind of supernatural experience. They want the Holy Spirit to speak out here in midair, or they want the Holy Spirit to speak to them. Actually, God is speaking all of the time in his word. He's giving you how to live, how to walk, how to act. Right here, how to live. Right there in the Word. He's giving you the leading of how you know it. You know, his Word, by knowing God's Word and continually renewing your mind to God's Word, he shows you what character and obedience are. He shows you what forgiveness and love is all about. When you know his word, he shows you healing and health. When you know his word, he shows you abundant, supernatural provision. When you know the word, he shows you how to have divine protection. All of those things come from knowing the word. Somebody is praying for them. Prayer is good and we need to pray, but you can know all of these that I just mentioned without praying. The word tells you that. My dad used to tell, people used to come up to dad sometimes and say, Brother Hagin, pray for me about this or pray for me about that. And I've actually heard him say, no, I'm not going to pray. And they started, you know, look shocked. But he said, why do I need to pray about it? If you read the word, the answer's already there. I don't need to pray for you for it. Oh, because a lot of people they want somebody to pray the prayer for them. They want God to do it for them. They don't want to have to do any work. You know, it's work sometimes to read the word. Anybody ever know that? Because everything in the world will come up Oh, I better go do this. I need to do this. I need to do that. It's hard sometimes just to make you sit down and read the word. Am I the only one that has those kind of problems? Anybody else ever have those kind of problems? Somebody think preachers don't have. We got the preachers have the same problem. Pastors, ministers have the same problems that you have. That's why we can talk to you about it so good. You know, sometimes when we're following God's leading, it really doesn't make any sense in the natural. But he's leading us into his promise. He's leading us to fulfill the plan he has for us. You know, I couldn't understand why I had to leave Bible school in October. I just started my senior year in Bible school, and I had to go in the Army, and I was in the Army for 3 years, and I didn't understand all that. But you know, I found out something. What the devil means to interrupt your walk, God turns it around for the good. Because what I worked with and what I did in the service helped me to learn how to operate this ministry. It helped. I mean, I got the church, I got the school, I got the traveling ministry, I got the television, and because of what I did, if you inadvertently, you took an oath, if you inadvertently give out information, you're going to Leavenworth Prison. I mean, you signed it. So when you walked away from that 8 hours on duty, you forgot it. Even if there's three or four of you together, you go to eat or something, and y'all all working on the same project, you don't even talk about it. And because I learned to do that, I can walk out of that office over there and go on a crusade and never think about television, never think about school or anything else. I zero in on my crusade. When I don't have any crusades, then I can zero in on the ministry. I can, whatever I have to zero in. In fact, I had a guy sitting with one of the pastors came by, and he called me, and I told him, well, come on. He said, I just want to shadow you for a day. And we're setting up my office, and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he said, I don't know how you do it. He said, you answered this letter, you answered this phone call, this person came into the office with this, and then you answered this, and you did this, and you did that. I said, the secret is you have to, whatever you are dealing with at the moment is what you think about. The rest of the time, you just let it lie, and you go back and pick it up. You know, actually, if you will follow his leading, it will lead to blessing. You might not understand it while you're there, but at the end, it makes sense. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? Anybody ever been there? Besides me? Oh, I see several of you have been there. You know, we are not to live by our experiences, spiritual experience. In the natural, we don't need to live by our emotions, our feelings. All of that will change, but God's word will never change. It will never change. Learn to depend upon God's word, and you can make it through anything that the enemy throws at you as you're living this life down here. You know, I remember very well as a kid, you know, in the beginning, man, it was not fun. Dad left that church, last church, in the middle of my third grade year, and from the time I was in the third grade till I was in the eighth grade, it was tough, tough, tough. I mean, we didn't have enough to live on. And it was tough times. And when I think I was about in the sixth grade, and I went up to Dad and I said, "Dad, I don't like all this. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. All the other kids are going on this and going here and there." And I said, "I don't have no money." I said, I get five pairs of jeans and five shirts and five pairs of socks and a new pair of shoes in September, and that's what I wear to school. And I have to come home and put on last year's clothes, and I'm outgrowing them, and I look horrible." I said, "What are we going to do?" He looked at me and he said, "We're going to believe the promises of God. Son, this is just an opportunity to prove God's word works." Well, he said, "Just stay believing with me." The family stayed believing with him, and we came out. But because of the word, not because we went around telling everybody anything, it's the word. We'd pray and God would bless. You got to remember, God's word will tell you what you're to do. It says, after having done all, stand. That's when I find most people bail out. They're believing God, but when they have to stand in the rough times, they bail out. They try to start trying to fix it for themselves. If you could have fixed it, you'd already done it. So why bail out now? Hang on to God. God is faithful. God will provide. And as John Osteen used to say, payday may not be every Saturday, but payday will come. Any of you that remember John ever heard him say that? Yeah, I see. It will. We get to putting things of God in our natural thinking and in our natural setting. No, God will provide. And there's timing, and I don't have the time to preach about that. You know, we need to quit struggling with the past and know that God has a future for us. Your future is as bright as the Word of God, the promises in the Word of God. Say it with me. My future is as bright as the promises of God. But it's our choice. We can look at things and because we're struggling and barely making it, we can look at it in one way, or we can look at it as just another opportunity to prove God's word works. We can sit around and wring our hands and say, "Oh my God, what am I going to do?" Or we can say, "My God will supply all of my needs. My God will take me through." Come on. You know, the truth is that God has given us his promises. He's given us provision. He's given us peace. He's given us his presence. He's given us his power. He's given us protection. But it's up to us to make it happen in our lives by believing what the Word of God says. It says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, or the mouth of the Lord, as one translation says. And somebody said, "Well, I don't hear God saying anything." Then start reading the Bible. That's God talking. We need to continually thank God for the word. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his abundant grace. Thank God that he is leading us and guiding us to that abundant life that he wants us to have. Hallelujah. Father, I just tried to remind these people for a few moments today that something that they already know, but they need to have a renewal of how important the Word of God is. It is the most important thing that they can get a hold of in their lives. Help us all to always realize the Word. It's the Word and nothing but the Word that will get us through. In Jesus' name, Amen. Praise the Lord. If you happen to be here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, so you don't know what I'm talking about, or you happen to know what it is to serve Him, but you're just not where you need to be with Him and you need to rededicate your life. Or you may be here and say, I'm born of the Spirit, but I have never been filled with the Spirit, according to Acts 2:4. I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible said. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. We believe in that around here. If any one of those invitations, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life, or you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if any one of those invitations fit you, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. But I can't do that unless I know who you are. So would you just please raise your hand right now wherever you're at. I see a hand back there. Anybody else? There's another hand. Thank you. You need Christ. You need to rededicate, or you want to receive the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Upstairs, downstairs, anybody else? There's another hand. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. Another hand back there. Thank you. I want to ask you to do something, so because I want to pray with you individually, like I said I would. I'm going to ask you, would you just please step out in the aisle and come down here? If you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand, I'm coming right down there, and I'm going to pray with you. So I want you to come right now. If you're in the balcony, the ushers will help you get down. Come on down. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand. Come on down right now. Come on down. That's good. That's good, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Just face me.
Jesus is waiting.
Come on right here. Come on, guys. Anybody else want to come? Come on right now. Just come on right now. Come on right now. You raised your hand. Should have raised your hand. Wanted to raise your hand. Come on now. Your life will never, ever be the same again. I'm going to wait just a moment. Come on now. This is your opportunity to change your life forever. Hallelujah. Hey, guys. I hold in my hand three little books, one called New Birth, one called Why Tongues, talking about the Holy Spirit, the other one, In Him, talking about who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can have because of Him. Now, if I put these books out here like this, I said, I'm going to give them to you, what do you got to do to get them? She reached first. But every one of y'all are going to get those same books in just a minute. I just did that as an example. I can pray for you, but I can't give you what you came for. What you came for come from heaven on high. So just as both of them reached a hand out, I want you to reach one hand up and you're saying, Heavenly Father, that hand, I'm reaching up to get what I came down here for. Just go ahead right now. Raise your hand right now. Congregation, raise your hand toward them as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that every spiritual need in these lives that we met today, salvation, Holy Spirit, rededication, we thank you that they shall receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to ask y'all to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Get those books. Make sure you got what you came for. Would you see Pastor Greg right there? Would you just follow him, Greg? Right there. Oh, there's some more right there. Praise the Lord. Pick them up as you go. Thank you, Jesus. Those young people right there, get in line. Just take right on, go right on. Put them in the line. Go to the prayer room. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. They should have brought them on down. I didn't know they was over there. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Hour of Power. Remember all of the announcements. And, you know, church, I want to Let me go back up there where you can see, where we can, y'all can see me. I want to thank y'all for the way you have gotten a hold of this Isaiah project. I've had a lot of pastors talking to me about it. And you saw that there's 1,200,000 and something, I don't know what it was. And as Craig was saying that, Lynette said, yeah, and it's already all spent too. Because we keep going. You know, somebody said, well, that's a lot of money. Will you ever look around this place and see how big this place is? How big this building is? And you ever go and price out stuff? What stuff it costs? But we're getting ready to go. I know she was.
Yeah, let me do a little bit of update. Last week I met with Ben. Now we're looking at the staircases. Those are going to be, instead of carpet, it's going to be a rubberized thing. And then we're looking at the carpet in the hallways upstairs. So that's our next project. They are, I don't know exactly, the south bathrooms are, I don't know whether they've started, but they've been ordered. It takes a little while for everything to come in. So we keep on going.
Yeah, and when, I don't know whether y'all realize it or not, when we order, like we order, because they want a down payment, and then when it's delivered, they want the final payment. Okay? But hey, just give yourself a hand for what you've been doing. Hallelujah. And now let's raise hands and thank God. Father, we thank you that we have the finances to refurbish the house where we worship you in. You said if we take care of your house, you'd take care of ours. And we're doing that now. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of y'all believe what we just prayed right there? See, as you helping to take care of this house where we meet to worship God, he's going to help you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hey, connection team, find our first time guests and take them to the lobby. We're so glad to have you with us. What do we say, church? Welcome home. If you're looking for home church, just come on and join us. We have a great time serving God around here, bringing hope, help, and healing to the world. Amen. They have a special gift for you tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7, back here on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, School of the Bible, and 10 o'clock right here. All right. Greet some people. And it's not going to be long that I'm getting tired of this not going to the door. It ain't going to be long. I'm going to go to the door. Okay. How many of you are ready for us to go to the door where we can greet one another? All right. All right. We'll see y'all tonight, 6 o'clock. God bless.